And welcome, everyone. My name is Charlie. I'm powerless over the arising of my emotions, and I'm on a much more joyful journey for being here. So tonight, let's have some fun. We're going to start the first of our four sessions, which is on awareness. And Camille, if you could go ahead and give us a preview. Tom, if you'd put up the, actually, I don't know if we have the, do you have a screen share for that? There we go. That's the one.
Okay. So thank you. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the overview of the entire retreat and session one, awareness, what's been going on, how I'm doing now, and deepening my own kind of awareness. Session two is acceptance, how I can better open up to people, life, and my emotions as they are. And three, attitude. Discovery attitudes are the feeling, tones, or views which can steer our thinking. And four, action. Exploring the actions which help us regain serenity, happiness, and contentment.
Thanks, Tom. So, Camille, do you have access to your script?
Yes.
Great. It's on to you for topic of the evening.
Okay. And now the main feast, it is awareness of what's not working that brings us to the EA program. Then we become aware of what EA and our higher power can do for us. We become aware that we're no longer alone. It is through our awareness we can now wisely hold our thoughts, emotions, and lives. This evening, we are going to sample awareness readings from the EA literature. We'll talk about what you're aware of in your own lives during the last few challenging months and how it's affected us and you. Then we will practice something called the Compassionate Step One Break from the EA workbook, bringing compassion and gentleness into our program and into ourselves is the main gift we hope to share together tonight and all through the full day of our retreat tomorrow. So if really being nicer to yourself and your loved one sounds good to you, now is a good time for us to set an intention together. So the four intentions or wishes. One, may I learn to be truly kind and welcoming to myself. Two, may I care well for my heart and body. Three, may I become really good at soothing myself. And four, more and more may I practice trusting awareness all that is arising. And now I will turn that over to Charlie.
Well, you guys, hasn't it been a heck of a year? Last time we got together was in July, or if you can believe it, was only July when we had our Zoom retreat. That Friday night, we had just about 80 people here. And our entire world kind of changed. There's been so much drama. Back then, I know that I couldn't have even imagined what we were about to go through. It's been traumatic. I haven't seen so much social disruption since the 1960s, which I have to admit that I remember some of. But what's different now is that we don't have even the collective community base we had back then. We all watched just three television stations back then, right? ABC, NBC, CBS. And the world has gone a million different ways. And then on top of that, we've had the COVID. We've been physically distant with each other. We've had disagreements about how that should be done. And we've had the great national political divide too, more than I've ever seen in my lifetime. All of that is trauma on top of the challenges that we normally have in our own lives. And I wanna tell you that my baseline is completely changed. I've had so much more anxiety to manage. And I'm curious how many of that it's true for you as well. So just raise your hand if it's true for you that you've been managing much more anxiety and stuff. Get your hands up there and take a look around, leave your hands up, and even scroll between the screens if you want, you know. Thank you. Thank goodness that we have this program. I've been telling people, if it wasn't that I was already on the path, if I hadn't already been gotten this head start of doing this work, I would have been thrown completely. I have the practices. I'm able to start my day, and I know to call a friend. I know, you know, to do daily prayer and meditation, and I have my EA readings and such. But that doesn't change the fact that I've been through trauma, that we've all been through trauma. There's kind of a joke that I like. It's a picture. You got to visualize it with me. You can tell me if this works for you or not later. All right. So two kids are hiding around a corner, right, while an ice cream truck goes by. They don't want to be seen by the ice cream truck. And on the side of the ice cream truck, it says, "Blood and Guts Ice Cream." And then at the bottom of the cartoon, it says, "If 2020 was an ice cream." You could substitute for mealworm or anything else. Anyways, it's important to laugh about it. And at the same time, I don't know how much time you have to spend each day getting regulated again. And that word regulated, it isn't actually in our program literature. We might use a word more like grounded, you know, or becoming emotionally sober. I don't know how much time it takes for you to do that a day, but I spend time at it. And it isn't done yet, but we're getting close to at least the end of one of these things, and that's the main part of the COVID. We've learned a lot about how to settle. We've got a lot of techniques, and we're going to start doing some of those things tonight. The kind of main theme about tonight is, with awareness, is that in order for us to heal, we have to feel it. And we can only feel, or we can only heal that it is what it is that we are willing to feel. But it's painful to bring this stuff up into awareness. It's easier for me, for us, to go into avoiding, watching TV, medicating, whatever it was that we used to do before we found the program. So to get the courage that we need, and to get the softness and the willingness and the strength and the faith that we need, we have to have compassion. Because if we're going to do a step one, if we're going to go back to step one and go, "I'm powerless again," we need to have compassion first, rather than just being hard on ourselves, which is like we often do. So tonight, that's going to be a big theme for us. We're going to keep coming back to compassion as a necessary balm while we do our awareness work tonight. So right now, we're going to do some compassionate practices of awareness. I wonder if you would invite me, or rather join me, in doing a little settling practice, just a little moment of meditation and settling. And if you're willing, find a comfortable position. And we're just going to just soften ourselves a little bit and get present. So I'll say the same thing that for any of these practices now throughout the weekend. At any time, if you want to turn off the camera, if you feel more comfortable for an exercise where I'll invite you to close your eyes, feel free to turn off your camera, or some people will even turn their screen away because they find it's easier if it's not looking directly at them. But whatever it is that makes you feel comfortable. And having said that, if you would sit in whatever way that your body is comfortable, and if you makes you more comfortable, close your eyes. And I'm going to start by ringing a little bell. And at the end of the session, I'll ring another bell. Settling into our bodies. Actually noticing the first instruction that I have a body, and noticing that it's here. Noticing the chair that you're sitting on, the physical sensation. If feeling your hands wherever they're resting. And noticing your breathing. Actually noticing whether you're breathing in right now or breathing out. And just paying attention. Breathing in, aware of the sensations of breathing in. And breathing out, aware of the sensations of breathing out. And as you breathe out, perhaps just letting go of a little bit of tension every time you breathe out. And breathing in, cool and refreshing. And breathing out, just letting go of anything that you want to let go of. Still aware of yourself sitting here and inviting your body to relax. Breathing in, refreshing and cool, and breathing out, letting go of anything that you want to let go of and starting to soften. Letting go of the day. Perhaps by even softening your facial expressions. Feeling the lines of the face soften. Softening the jaw. Softening the neck and the shoulders. And softening the upper torso. And the back. Letting the back soften. Still aware of breathing in and breathing out. And relax the belly and the torso and the hips. Breathing in, cool and refreshing. Breathing out, letting go of any tension. And now softening the legs, starting with the thighs. Relaxing the knees. Relaxing the calves. And relaxing the feet. Now, any other place that you might be carrying tension in your body, notice any other place and gently invite that to relax as well. Let's take a moment now and just turn your attention inwards, noticing the feeling inside of your body. And see if there's something that's most up in your awareness. Is there something that you're carrying in some place? Maybe there's a feeling of a body sensation. Maybe you have an emotion that you're carrying somewhere. And if there's anything that you find in your body, your mind, or your heart that's painful, I invite you to take your hand and perhaps place your hands on that spot, maybe over your heart or your belly or some other place that feels good for you, to offer yourself a soothing touch. Really allowing yourself to feel your own compassion. Thank you for showing up tonight. Thank you for taking a risk and being with us. Thank you for working your program. And in the last minute before we close, see if there's something that your heart wants from you tonight. Ask yourself if there's something that you need. Some reason you came tonight. And if there's something that your heart is asking you for, Maybe give yourself that gift. Perhaps it's to relax. Perhaps it's to feel comfortable showing your real emotions. Maybe it's a desire to have a good cry. Maybe it's a desire to have a good laugh. Whatever it is that your heart wants, may you continue to show up for yourself. May you be full of loving kindness tonight and every day. Thanks, everyone. Camille? We're on the reading from the 4A pamphlet, if you'd put that up on screen, Tom. Hope I didn't put Tom to sleep.
Here it comes. Thank you, Charlie. Greater awareness comes. We become, I thought I was supposed to pick two readers for this.
You can do it either way, Camille. You can either read it or pick readers, whatever you like.
Okay. I'm trying to open my screen a little more. Okay. This is from the 4A's pamphlet. Greater awareness comes. We become aware of our emotions, feelings, problems, and issues. Become aware of what it truly means to be powerless over our emotions. In step 4 and 10, begin to take an inventory of our actions. As a result of this inventory, we see what we have. See what we have been doing and notice changes we might want to make. We become aware that this program is for us and that our higher power is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. We realize the support we receive from the meetings and the EA will always be there for us. We become aware that we are no longer alone. And that was from the 4A's pamphlet. This is from the Welcoming the Spiritual Awakening Within Me workbook. The healthier we become, the more able we are to do a healthy 10-step inventory right in the moment. The 4A's are an EA slogan which remind us of the 4 simple steps to do such a present moment inventory. Using the 4A's can take us through the steps of changing our thinking from negative to positive. Thank you.
And now, Camille, if you would share that bit of your story that you were going to share.
Okay. My name is Camille, and I am powerless over the rising of my emotions. I have been...
Hi, Camille.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Camille.
Hi, Camille.
Thank you. And thank you for bearing with me. I have been...
We love you, Camille.
I have been an EA for several years, and I am so fortunate to be a part of this virtual retreat. Also, I'm grateful to be led to EA, to the EA program, and to the people who have paved the way by sharing their strength, experience, and hope of the program. The program, EA, continues to help me move into a positive direction. Just the fact that I am here tonight speaks volumes, because a year or two ago, if you would have asked me to co-host in the EA retreat, I would have not signed on. So, you know, that just goes to show you that even though this has been difficult for me, I have made strides in moving forward. I also would like to thank Charlie and all the others for all their hard work and being instrumental in bringing this virtual retreat together. And I think all of you will be as well. And now I'd like to pass things back over to Charlie again. Thank you.
Thanks, Camille. how many of you have heard of the expression, the trance of unworthiness? Raise your hands up. The trance of unworthiness. I'm going to flip screens here and see how many of you are. Actually, not that many. Okay. There's a wonderful author that I love, and she came up with this expression to talk about when we go into a shame spiral and we kind of get lost and we lose access to our toolbox. You know, like you have those, you feel like you're a kid again and your mind is clouded. I've heard that called the trance of unworthiness. And the only way to get out of the trance, or the best, quickest way to get out of the trance, is compassion. Because everybody's got it. Everybody has these human things. So we're going to practice a little bit of compassion again tonight. So we believe that compassion is an essential component of awareness, because we need to be able to turn towards the suffering. We have to be able to be with the pain long enough to be able to respond with kindness. So while it might seem that suffering is blindingly obvious, I don't think most people acknowledge how much pain that they're in, especially when, like for me, it's coming from self-criticism, or when confronted with big life challenges like we've all been through in this last half year here. We get so caught up in problem-solving mode that we don't even consider how hard it is in the moment. So tell me if this is true for you. When you drop a glass and it shatters on the floor, is your first response to go, A, shit, B, how dumb am I, or C, oh, sweetheart, I'm really sorry that happened. You must be feeling terrible right now. So how many of you, it's response number C? Can we get Denise says that? Yep. I didn't see anybody else. I'm in training to have that be my first response. That right when it gets hard, like the moments that we're already having, you know, tonight, I just wish us all to be compassionate with ourselves, because that's what it's like to be human, you know. At the same time, this awareness has another function. Once we're able to get back into awareness, like that hurt, and this is what I thought, this is what my emotions were, this is what my body was doing, I froze up, you know. The mindfulness helps me to stop being overly identified with what was going on. There's an expression in the workbook that I love. It says, we start to develop a separate sense of awareness from our passing thoughts and emotions. And so when I'm able to practice awareness with compassion, it doesn't feel like it's me. It's just something that's going by, you know. And more, when I practice awareness with compassion, I'm able to have come from this place where it's like, yep, I experienced this emotion. It's not who I am, you know. Also, when we mindfully acknowledge it, we don't have to exaggerate it as much. How do we become aware over time when we come into the EA program? If we looked at it kind of linearly, like when I first came in, you know, to EA 10 years ago, the first thing that I became aware of was pain. I hit a bottom that was so hard for me, I had to check into the psych ward down at the hospital because I didn't think I could function. I didn't think that I could take any more emotion without literally exploding. You know, my heart was racing. So I hit a bottom. And so I finally reached a place. Before then, I was in denial. And I was in denial that I could keep functioning without help. And I had enough pain that made me have a first step awareness and that I got into the program. Then I got a ways, when I started working the program, I became aware of the ways that I was powerless and unmanageable, how I had tried to manage it before and I couldn't handle it. Then I started to take an inventory of the ways that my life was unmanageable, the ways that my wife was carrying the load, the ways that I wasn't able to function fully. Then as I started to take responsibility, started to gain awareness of the judgments and attitudes that I had, which were really the cause of my suffering. Most of my suffering was coming from being how hard I was or how hard I was being on myself. Then, as we start to work the program in our lives, we gain awareness of the situations around us. Our field of awareness goes out, and we start to be aware of all the things that were triggering us. We start to be aware of things that, again, I'm curious how many of you know this expression, when you're working more than one program of recovery at a time, let's suppose me, I'm staying sober from drugs. Things can that happen in one program can trigger another one. And so if I get into an emotional situation, I might feel more likely to smoke a cigarette or to, you know, want to have drugs. Well, as I start to do my four-step inventory, I gain awareness of the worldly kinds of situations that normally trigger me into having an emotional slip in my program. And I start to have even more resilience and even more ability to keep my sobriety. Moving on, when we do our fourth and step 10th step inventories, we become more aware of the character traits that are kind of like repetitive cycles. Start to notice the ways that I have payoffs for the things that are drama behaviors in my life, and actually notice, have awareness of how those things are actually painful. It's one of the things that I like about the promises of this program. We're not asked to change ourselves. We're asked to become aware of it with compassion and then to surrender it. So when we get awareness of it, it's enough. It's kind of like an advanced course on the burned hand teaches best. While I'm still in denial about it, I'm denying that my hand is burning, even though the stink of the burned flesh is filling the room. I'm still in denial about it. And when I become aware and I actually am conscious of it, that pain is enough for me to stop. My codependent behaviors of control. It hurts to control. It hurts to worry that much. And I now feel how much pain it is to carry the worry of trying to control every little thing in my life. And I get all these reminders. My higher power goes, tired of that, aren't you? And I love those reminders. In step 8 and 9, we get awareness of the people that we've harmed, including ourselves. We start to become aware of the promises of the program that are coming true for us. We gain awareness of our growing strength, our honesty, and our courage. And our 10-step daily inventories, we have increasing awareness of looking for the good, of looking for the good inside of us. Some of us probably know about EA's, Fearless and Uplifting 4-step guide, which really actually does emphasize looking for the good as much as any character challenges we have. The 10th step hasn't been rewritten, but we can just mentally imagine that it says not just when we were wrong, promptly admitted it, but when we're right, promptly admitting it. What a beautiful thing that is to take a balanced 10-step inventory. And that's also something that comes with our growing awareness. We're being mirrored by our fellows, and more and more we're seeing that we really have so much more, so many more beautiful qualities than we recognized before. So how do we practice awareness on a daily basis? Oops, I skipped one. Finally, when we do step 12, we get to giving ourselves to back in service and showing up for the man and woman who still suffer. We have growing awareness that other people are suffering just as much as we are. And when we actually are finally able to take that in, how much people are suffering right now. Like right now here in the United States, I've never seen more pain than I've seen right now. And because I work my program, I'm able to actually take it in a bit and get the gravity of it. And when I take care of myself, then I have enough capacity to then show up for other people. On a daily basis, what awareness looks like, and I'm almost done. Whatever practices that we do in the morning, for example, prayer and meditation, daily readings, phone calls with others, and I'll share the last bit about where my awareness practice is. I'm using it in my body. I'm finally realizing that for me, the point of all of this, for me, the point of the 12 steps is not to keep going through the 12 steps, even though I've been doing it for 40 years. The point of the 12 steps for me is to be present, to trust myself, and to allow myself to be in the present moment. And one of the best ways that I can do that, one of the best shortcuts after I've done all of my 12-step work, is to notice what's going on around me, to feel my body right now, sitting on the chair, to see your faces on the screen, to notice the room that I'm sitting in, to notice the emotions that I've got. I'm a little bit anxious because, frankly, there's more of you than there are of me, and other reasons. That's what awareness looks like for me long-term, both in the evolution of being here as a person in recovery and also on a daily basis. We're going to have a check-in with you guys. So we're going to do this in a couple of different ways. We're going to first start out with the chat function. Then we're going to call on some of you to talk about how all of this strikes you. We've said enough, and we're kind of curious what you guys are feeling and thinking. So Camille, do you want to take over with this?
Thank you, Charlie. Okay. What are the main feelings you're having right now? What is one thought that's been reoccurring a lot lately? And finally, what tools have been working to getting you back to yourself, grounded and stable?
So first off, if you're willing, type something into the chat, just a few sentences, and let's see what we have in common, okay? Because there's so many of us, and I'm forgetting what the numbers are, there's 60 of us. Why don't we, anyone who's interested, we don't all have to do it, just if you feel like it, type some answer to these questions into the chat. What are you feeling right now? What's something that's been up in your mind a lot lately? What have you been, spinning on? And then what's been working to get you back to ground? And I see Greta says stressed. And Camille, you can go ahead and read those off.
Okay. Yes.
Grief, anxiety.
Tracy, at peace right now. KM, I am grateful that I made it here tonight. And Sheila, not alone. Sarah, feeling despair and pain often. Oh my Lord. Okay. Overwhelmed, depressed. I'm feeling gratitude for various programs, and I am here where I am working with others to heal. I've been feeling shame and pain about some family situations.
And I noticed that Harvey, you said that you're dealing with prostate cancer, and walking meditation and the power of intention is working for you. Thank you for sharing something so personal, Harvey. Go on, Camille.
Bit hopeless, but working with meditation and gratitude to counter it. Fear, anxiety, fear. Happy to be here. Anger, overwhelmed, emotionally exhausted.
And I noticed, Remington, you said guilt. Am I doing enough? Thank you for sharing that. I believe that that's common. Not alone, says Sheila W. Grateful that I showed up. Greta says, prayer grounds me.
Shame for past mistakes. Program. Jill, hopelessness at a new unexpected life circumstances. I am growing in strength and acceptance.
Kathleen, grateful for your medical doctors, understanding the difference between sobering conversations and anxiety triggering conversations. Thank you. And now we're gonna go live a little bit. I wonder if there's any of you, Tom's gonna put those questions into the chat. So go ahead and cut and paste those, Tom, put those into the chat. And is there anyone who'd like to share your answers with us live to the whole group? Just go ahead and put up your Zoom hand. And I wanna explain that, what that means. There's so many of you that we can't see you all on the screen, but what does work is if you raise your electronic Zoom hand, and where you can find that is down at the bottom of the screen where it says reactions. There's a button that says raise hands. And then if you click on that, we're going to choose about four people or five people. I noticed that Cody from Arkansas had her hand up first. So Cody, go ahead and unmute yourself and welcome.
Hi, for some reason it says my video is disabled. I'm not sure why. The main feelings I'm having right now in this moment is anger and frustration because I have a little one here and I'm asking him to give me space and he just yells and cries. And so it's very, it just activates my emotional system to want to, you know, fight and I don't feel like I have freedom. So that's the thought. The thought is, well, here I am trying to do something, you know, trying to do something and it's not working. So what's the point, right? So that's the main thought I have lately is everything I'm doing, it's not working. What's the point? What's the purpose? And what tools have I been doing to get back to myself? I think trying new things. Like, so this is my second meeting I mentioned earlier. So that's one thing I'm open and willing to try is something new.
Thank you, Cody.
Thank you.
Camille, I'll let you select next.
Sarah, breathing helps, reaching out, meetings help. Remington, journaling helps for her, meditation. If she can get past her thoughts.
Okay, and I notice we've got three other people who put their hands up. Alana, would you go ahead and unmute? Welcome.
Yes, hi. I'm Alana, and I'm paralyzed with my emotions. What I picked for the three was I'm anxious. I always am in meetings like this. My reoccurring thought is fear that I'm not safe. And that's from past trauma. But what works for me more than anything is turning on some soft music and just having mindfulness meditation. And it brings me back to the present. And I say to myself, you are safe. You survived and you're here. And that helps me.
Thank you, Alana. That is so powerful, saying that, to say to myself, I'm safe. I want to confess that that's been an important practice for me just this year, learning to put my hand on my heart and say, you're safe, honey. I gotcha. I see that Maria M. has her hand up.
Hello, everyone. I'm grateful that you're all here today. This is my first Zoom meeting with Emotional Anonymous. I've only been a few times with physical people a few years back. I am feeling a lot of emotions, grief, loss, anxiety, panic, overwhelm, a gamut. Just right when I was about to sign on, my cousin called from Italy letting me know that her mother just died today. So I'm in a little bit of shock and at the same time so grateful you're here. Although you're all strangers, you can relate to just emotions and how I have to keep it together when I want to fall apart. It's so much easier to fall apart than to say no, to be reminded, I am safe, I'm okay, this isn't me, I'm not dying. Other, you know, just because my aunt died doesn't mean that I have to die too. It's all these emotions, and I'm grateful that you're reminding me, yes, I have tools. What's worked in the past is talking to someone, journaling, music, like people are sharing. Telling me myself the truth and not always believing every feeling and emotion that wants to attack me. in the moment. So thank you for all that showed up, and thank you for sharing. And I apologize for being late, but I'm grateful to be here.
Thank you so much. And sorry for your loss.
Yeah, sorry for your loss. And Kathleen, we'll let you close out this session.
Oh, thank you. My name is Kathleen, and I am powerless over my emotions, but definitely not powerless over the option of if I'm going to respond or react. And I'm grateful to the program for that. My comment was that I had gratitude for my medical professionals being willing to understand the difference between a sobering conversation and an anxiety triggering conversation. I have roughly 8 specialists because of my rare disease. And I guess what really triggered my response, Charlie, was when you said, and the way you said it sort of just gave permission to say it out loud, that it really is possible for me to take all of the different support groups that I am a part of because of my rare disease. And I don't have to be ashamed of my 12-step spiritual discipline, and I can share it. And I love the whole idea of, you know, you take the message and not the messenger. And I think for me, this last week is my doctors being able to sit in and experience that it really does feel like this big warm hug, like all your friends got introduced and they all like each other and they didn't even know they liked each other. So when I go, like, example, I go to my TBI support group and they're like, we like this language you use. What did you learn that from? Dudes, I learned that from EA. What are you talking about? Well, can we use that too? And I'm like, yeah, I guess. And so they just, it's that whole attraction thing. And my brothers say that's when my marshmallow is leaking, when I get sappy. I'm not typically a sappy person, but I have to admit that EA has given me the opportunity to be proud of being sappy. And that's a good thing. But when it all comes together and I have to have conversations with my group, my medical group, and they can look at me and say, you know what? You know, we don't have a cure. How are you doing dealing with this? Is it pushing the anxiety or is it helping you not feel blindsided? And there's just this common vocabulary that allows for the messy middle and to still just feel heard and accepted. And for me, the greatest thing is walking out. And this is what I get from attending the meetings and not feeling like somebody tried to fix me or suck my energy. And I'm grateful for that. I am grateful for these Zoom meetings because me and my wheelchair, portability is a huge thing. So I am grateful for many reasons for all of you being here. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Kathleen. Thank you, Kathleen. And back to you, thanks, Camille. Kathleen.
Thanks, Camille.
Okay.
It's the question. How does it feel?
This is from KM to everyone, trying to give myself time to think things through, to give myself a break, walking, some exercise, and trying to push on and get things accomplished despite the odds. Maria, what helped? Talking to a human, crying, journaling, praying, journaling, music.
Beautiful. Well, let's go to the next process. But first, I want to ask you, or Camille, you can ask them how it feels to hear other people's responses. Where does that register for you? Do you feel any different? Is there a comfort? Is there a softening? Being present includes being in our bodies. Do you have any more sense of connection? Anyways, thank you all for showing up honestly. I know for me, it just helps me to be much more present when you are in that way. So time to select a reader for, would somebody raise your Zoom hand if you're willing to read the next section, which is going to be from the Welcoming the Spiritual Awakening workbook on page 126. Anyone willing to, I see Greta has her hand up. Greta, would you read? And Tom, that's the...
You know, maybe I should not have volunteered to read because I have my guinea pig in my hand and he's pretty vocal.
Okay. Who else would like to read for us? Thank you, Greta. I see Dolores. You've got your hand up.
That first paragraph? The first section?
Yeah, the first section. Yep.
Understanding trauma and the goals of EA recovery. Trauma is the consequence of highly stressful or painful experiences. Trauma elicits a feeling of helplessness, of being overwhelmed, of powerlessness. Trauma is more common than many people think. Traumatized people can vividly remember the details of their trauma. They can feel helpless or too overwhelmed to cope with further life adversities. The experience of unprocessed trauma is stored in the body. It can take the form of any physical expression from aches, pains, headaches, and digestive problems, to name a few. Even repressed memories themselves can be stored in the body. Emotional habits and sensations that were learned during trauma are experienced as disruptive physical responses in our present lives. Our trauma must be processed if we are to regain control over our reactions and experience. However, we can only do this productively when we feel truly safe, in ways that do not re-traumatize us as we process the experience. Thus, our recovery requires that we learn ways to manage the feelings and sensations we have connected with our past.
Thank you, Dolores. And would someone else raise your hand if you're willing to read the section called The Goals of Recovery? I see Robin has her hand up. Thank you, Robin.
All right. The goals of recovery. The challenge of recovery is to reclaim ownership of our mind, body, and soul. We must feel free to know and feel with a sense of confidence and safety instead of being overwhelmed. It starts as we begin to learn ways to become present and peaceful. Then we learn how to keep that calm, even when we are exposed to triggers which bring up past memories. In the process, we become able to accept the truth about our past and present selves without shame. We build a new life of practices and relationships as we awaken to our true potential. We become engaged in our lives again.
Great, thank you. And Tom, I'm just going to end the screen share because I would rather talk through the section on the window of tolerance instead. Okay. How many people have heard of the window of tolerance before? Just raise your actual physical hands, not your Zoom hands. Okay. How many people have heard of the window of tolerance? Okay. Not so many again. All right. This is a really useful idea. We all have some band of stuff that we can tolerate. And outside of that, we get overwhelmed. I like to picture sort of a TV screen, right? So since we're looking at a Zoom screen, that's a really great way to do it. Now imagine that when Charlie gets pushed up out of his window of tolerance, I go up over the top into anxiety, into stress, into hypervigilance, you know, being really super careful and freaked out. If I get pushed below my window of tolerance, I'll go into depression and I want to sleep and I want to shut down and I won't want to be seen. Well, the goal of recovery is learning how, there's three goals. One is learning how to get back into the window of tolerance. Now we talk a lot about that, the tools of the program, right? That's what we all checked in on. What are the ways that we get back into being grounded and connected? Another goal over time is to expand the window of tolerance. A word that is used very often is resilience. We learn to be resilient. Over time then, we are starting to understand ourselves. We get again that separate sense of awareness. We don't feel as much because we learn about how to keep ourselves safe and get back into safety. We finally learn a true refuge. It doesn't mean that we don't feel, I don't feel the emotions anymore, but I have a real sense that I'm able to take care of myself and that I'm going to be okay. One more thing, we wanted to just talk about isolation a little bit. Isolation is something that we're all going through more and more with the COVID, right? And what's really ironic is that this is one of the main symptoms of our disease. It's the same with any of these addictive diseases. We don't trust as much. And when we don't trust, we keep ourselves alone more and more. I have a wonderful sponsor named Russ from here in Minnesota. And he had this great insight. And his insight was that in this program, in the Emotions Anonymous program, he believed from his experience that there were more people who had challenges of being isolated than perhaps other people did. You might say that drinking is more often a social disease, right? What is emotional compulsivity? Is that something that we do by ourselves? But the point is that challenging our isolation, going out, getting into sponsorship, getting ourselves to meetings, stretching our comfort zone is a essential, huge, central part of our recovery. And lately, we've been shut down. We're not able to be physical with people. We are trying to imagine social distancing. All of our cues are gone. You can see me from the neck up. And you're missing a lot, you guys. There's a lot going on that's not happening in the face, okay? And it's the same with everybody. We're missing all of our cues, okay? Our minds and our hearts don't do quite as well with that. So this is another form that the trauma is taking for us. And we need to practice our tools of recovery in new ways. We're learning, you can see us trying new ways right now, right? You can see us stretching the bubble right here, trying new ways to connect because it makes a difference. Because we can make a difference when we show up with each other. So we have to do our own work first, but eventually when we break out of our own isolation and we start to connect with each other again, this healing, like 12-step work, it's not just for us. Right now, our entire community is fractured. Those of us who are doing our recovery work, when we get what we need in places like this, we're able to show up again for your families, you know, for the neighbor, to be able to have just a little bit more capacity, be back into our window of tolerance again so we can show up, be connected, and give again, actually express our compassion. And then that just cycles upon itself. The more that we are able to show up and give, the more that we notice our strength, we see our higher power working through us, and it just cycles. I guess we're ready for the small groups, Camille.
Yes, this breakout session will be 16 minutes long, and there will be groups of four within 4 minutes each. You'll receive a notification on the screen that you're about to go into a small group if you're at a computer, but will receive no notification if you're calling in. You do not actually need to do anything. You will be moved into a small group at the start and back into the large group at the end. During the middle, however, each person on computer will receive a written message when it is time for the next person to share. Please respect when it is time for the next person to share and quickly wrap up your share.
Okay, Tom, if you would screen share the yellow text then to the whole group. So everyone, you're about to go into small groups. Please look at these questions in your small groups, and we'll see you in 20 minutes. Make sure to click yes to going into your small groups, otherwise you won't necessarily disappear and go into your small group. And for those of you who are still with me in the main room, we're going to do the same thing. have a look at these questions, let's take some time to check in with each other. Those of you who stayed in this large group, let's take turns and introduce each other by name and location, share some of your experience, strength, and hope, like what happened, what tools did you practice, and what things worked. So who would like to go first that's here still in the main group? Who'd like to go first? I see we have Dave, Marianne, Mario, Carol, and I can't quite pronounce Svalbox, who? Michael Kaufman, who'd like to go first and check in, introducing yourself and what's worked lately?
Why not Michael Kaufman?
Hi, Michael. You're muted, Michael. Go ahead and unmute, Michael.
I try to get out of my head as fast as possible and go to the feelings. I've experienced a lot of trauma in line with what you were talking about in my life. And I'm getting comfortable now with just recognizing that I am in a trauma state. And I can actually identify some past traumas just by relaxing. So I'm expanding my window. And I've been really focusing on the idea that, feel all these feelings pamphlets talk about just feeling the feelings. And being aware of a higher power and trusting that they will pass. And I've been thinking about being stuck in my life a lot. And I think that has to do with not realizing the sixth and seventh step. I actually got put in two small groups here, so I've got to take off. I couldn't quite hear you on my other computer.
Great. Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Nice to see you, Mike. And who else would like to check in? Kathleen, are you really there behind that screen? I guess not. I think there's two of you. Well, I'll go ahead. My name's Charlie, and I'm powerless over the arising of my emotions. And probably the biggest challenge that I've had lately has been the national political drama for me. My mom had a bomb shelter in the basement. She kept food for what she was afraid of, which was Armageddon. And I hated that when I grew up. And I've always been sensitive to things that look like a breakdown of society. And so this has been very, very triggering. It reminds me of my family of origin stuff, because my family of origin broke apart completely. It shattered. And a lot of the same things were present in that situation. There was anger, there was violence, there was vilifying, all of that stuff. It threw me so much that I was in a body state. I literally was having a hard time calming down. And so what's been working for me? I have been doing relaxation exercises, I kid you not, 3-4 times a day. I will just lay down, do a relaxation exercise, get calm. I've been making phone calls to program folks. You might laugh at this. I've been listening to recordings of water running and crickets and having that in the background while I'm doing other things. And the soothing really makes a difference. And probably the most important thing, I've been practicing mindful self-compassion. So I put my hand on my heart sometimes and I say to myself, honey, this is suffering. And you're not alone, and this isn't forever, it's gonna be better. And the difference, I have been able to function. I think I can call myself a high functioning neurotic as a result of all this, right? Actually functioning and able to be there for other people. My wife's been hurting too, and I've been able to get outside of myself and really show up. And so with that, I'm in. I can see that there's a phone caller called Gonzalem. Did you want to check in, Gonzalem? Oh, I think I have to ask you to unmute. Okay, I just did that. So I just asked you to unmute if you want to. And there's another person whose name I can't pronounce here, S-Z-A-B-O-L-C-S. Who? Would you like to check in? All right, Kathleen, I see you're back. Would you like to check in?
I apologize, kind of. I don't know if you guys saw the chat. Friend, fellow fellowship in Texas. And she doesn't have power except for her phone. And so I'm the third person to speak. We'll be trying to find. Give me the highlight, Charlie. Give me a 30-second highlight. I'll give you a 30-second answer.
It's what's been going on? You know, what ways have you been triggered? What have you been doing that's been helpful? And kind of what's the fruit of all that? What's like a gain that happened as a result of working your program to get back into being grounded and back into the window?
Got it. So I'll piggyback off what I shared earlier. The gratitude was what happened with my medical people. Things that I've been doing, just working my program, getting outside of myself, and realizing that that when I can't control things, that whole serenity prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change. When I hit that spot, man, it's like, look for that grateful distraction, because there's a lot of things I can't control. And every time I can do that, it's a score. And if I can go to bed every night and find one of the promises that I could see in the day, I had a good day. And my days go by fast. So with that, I pass. You guys are all beautiful. Woohoo!
Thanks, Kathleen. Alex, now I know you're from Oregon. Do you feel like checking in?
Sure. What is the, I came in a little late. What is the topic tonight?
We're talking about awareness. So the whole retreat is on the topic of awareness, acceptance, attitude, and action, the slogan. And so the first session here tonight is on the topic of awareness. And as a way of studying awareness, we're asking you, what are you aware of looking backwards? What happened? Kind of what was hard or good? What did you do that worked to get you back to ground? And then kind of what were some fruits of that that came from, what are some good that came from working your program lately?
Okay. Well, a lot of it lately, just in this pandemic with my work, my situation. I'm married, but I'm not really separated, but my wife has been in Oklahoma while I'm in Oregon the last few months, and that's caused my mind to kind of shift back and forth with my own value systems, my own twisted thinking, and in my own world. Say this. Well, I'm been part of another 12-step program, Sexaholics Anonymous, and I had a lot of issues with lust and stuff, which may be a part of why I'm my wife and I have been apart a lot part of the year, and I've been trying to get grounded back in that. I've been starting to go back to meetings again. For a while, I just kind of got off the wagon a little bit and started to act out with my issues. And now I'm, as I've met some people online the other day and kind of redirecting me back into 12-step program to kind of center myself away from that and kind of get back within myself as you'd seen me. A lot of my acting out and stuff I was dealing with a lot of LGBT kind of issues, and I had that kind of struggle for years and years, but I found that a lot of the issues were related to to lust, and not really grounded in reality. And so I've been feeling a sense of, well, I'm coming back into reality as I am, feeling a sense of more sobriety from that. And I think it's important to, you know, continue to attend the 12-step programs. This is like my fourth or fifth Emotions Anonymous meeting. I've done them all on Zoom, and I was really thrilled to kind of be able to see what I had and hear the experience and shares from other people. Just that seeing that I'm not alone and kind of in broken thinking and stuff, and being able to get my thoughts more centered. So so the program's been really good. I ordered the EA, the big book, should be here Sunday. So I'm looking forward to doing the reading in that. And then after this, I go to an SA meeting locally here. So I'm keeping up with that, and hopefully that'll get me back into away from fantasy kind of thinking and back into reality. So that's kind of all I got for right now. But thanks for listening. Let me share.
Thank you, Alex. It feels so good to have people courageous enough to share our experience, strength, and hope.
Thank you. Felt good to.
4 minutes now. Go get whatever you need, a little bit of tea. And Tom, you can guard the house.
Maybe I don't want to.
I'm sure a lot of you could use some hot tea.
Hi. Did someone call my name?
No, I was saying that I'm sure a lot of you could use some hot tea with the weather.
Oh. You're in.
Let me go get some iced tea.
All right. Did people have a good experience in their breakout rooms?
Yes, it was really nice sharing with each other.
Good. It's an interesting technology. I'm not that good with it, but it seems to have worked. I wanted to put 4 people in each of the breakout rooms, and then I ended up with 5 and 6 and 1. So, but it's a nice tool because when you have, I guess we're down, well, some people have left, but we're still over 50 participants.
What happened? Did you do the math wrong, or did it not automatically divide people?
I must have done the wrong math wrong. I think I hit the wrong number, and I went to 11 when I should have gone to 14. Oh. But the that was me. I was just multitasking, and I got overtasked. Mm-hmm. And then I clicked the go, and once I hit go, you know, I was like, I'm not going to redo this.
Maybe well, next time. You're doing really smooth, Tom. Mm-hmm. I got to do this tomorrow morning, so I don't think I can be as slick as you.
Although, oh, thank you.
You have 2 screens up. Is that correct? Because there's 2 Toms.
I'm running this on my cell phone as well, because then I can see what you guys see.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it doesn't show me it's still being there. Does it still show 2 Toms?
Welcome back from your small group check-ins. We've got 1 more practice to do in the evening. We're going to start it out by doing a reading. I'm wondering if there's somebody who would be willing to read another selection called The Compassionate Step One Break. I wonder if we could get someone to put up their Zoom hand. I see Sharon. Hello, Sharon. It says Jude's iPad, but I know you're Sharon.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to my own iPad.
And Tom, if you'd put up that, thank you. And folks who want to read along, this is on page 19 of the Awakenings workbook. Go ahead, Sharon.
A Compassionate Step One Break. We want to introduce a practice called the Compassionate Step One Break. We don't do step one just once. After we're on this path, we can end up using step one every day. Step one is something we can do whenever we notice that our minds have gone south. We take a compassionate step one break whenever we become aware that we've been triggered and are hurting again. Being hard on ourselves can be the biggest hindrance to us on the recovery path. We can be mad or disappointed in ourselves whenever we notice we're triggered or struggling. Our old minds are used to ourselves whenever we are struggling. Besides hurting us, this reduces our ability to respond with wisdom or to whatever is triggering us. These are step one moments. We've been triggered back into our stinking thinking or negative minds, and we need to admit it. We need to notice we're feeling off, thinking off, or acting off first. We need to know our heart and mind are going down so that we know to take action to change the direction. Then we need to remember to practice this step with compassion, because judging and shaming ourselves doesn't actually work. Why would we ever want to admit that our disease has returned if we're just going to beat ourselves up for it? This is why we need to practice doing our step one work with compassion. It takes real courage to do this kind of heart surgery. So when we practice being aware or how we've been triggered, we need to be kind to ourselves. Then, when we're really compassionate to ourselves, we find we feel better and our recovery is stronger too.
Thank you, Sharon. Nice to see you, sister. So friends, we're reaching what is might be the emotional heart of our work together tonight. And I wanna invite you to do the compassionate step one break with me. And what that looks like is I'm going to invite you to first remember some difficult situation or thought or recurring cycle that you're dealing with. And we're gonna process it using the compassionate step one break. When I go through this with you, I'm going to ask you to pick not the most powerful, difficult thing that you're going through, but something that you think that you could manage while we're doing this this time together. But this is also it's also a time where we're actually being vulnerable with each other. We're going to together and individually do some work together. However it looks for you, you can either leave your screen on or turn your screen off while you go through this process. We're gonna go through this four-step process, okay? So how exactly do we start? How have you been triggered lately? Let's stop for a moment, actually taking a pause to go within. What's been up? Pick one thought, perhaps, that's been recurring, that's terribly painful, a thought that's hurting. Or it may be a situation that's been difficult for you, but one that you could manage working through during this time. It may be a relationship. It might be money. So pick a situation or a thought, and then let's go within. Now that you brought it to mind, bringing some of the details of this situation to mind, the people that are involved, if there are, the thoughts that are involved, let's also be willing to notice what's going on in the body. What are the emotions that are triggered by this? Is there mad, sad, glad, or afraid? Is there shame? And notice the sensations that go along with that. When we pay attention, we notice that emotions actually have sensations in your body. So along with these emotions, is there a place that you get tight? Is there a place that you feel hollow? Is there some place that your attention doesn't want to be? Some people get headaches when they think of when they have certain problems. Some people might feel nothing at all. It could be just neutral. So what physical associations happen with you? That's step one. So thank you for bringing that all to mind. That's awareness. That's the awareness step. Now, recall the step, the first step. We admit that we're powerless over our emotions and that our lives have become unmanageable. Actually take that in. Powerless over the arising of our emotions and that our lives became unmanageable. Now talk kindly with yourself, if you will, with any statement that you might need to hear right now. Like, this is suffering. Okay. I'm hurting again. Yep, this trigger is difficult for me. Can you give yourself gratitude for having noticed it? Can you give yourself gratitude for having shown up and being willing to try this? I'm grateful that I noticed. How about I'm grateful for my willingness to do a first step and to begin again, over and over, starting in our program with real kindness. Third step, how about noticing that this is just a human thing? The third step, tell yourself, this is normal. I'm not the only one that goes through this. This is part of being human. And actually take that in. Ask yourself this thing that you're thinking or experiencing. Imagine if there's anyone else that experiences this. And I'm sure the answer is yes. And just for a moment, imagine the other people that also experience them, this experience. It might be the other people on this call. It might be somebody in your family or someone that you talk with. It could be one of the any of the other 7 billion people that are on the planet. But this third step is noticing that this is normal and this is human. And we end this third step by asking your higher power for the serenity to accept the things that you cannot change. This is normal. I can't change it. This happens. Really take that in. Not personal, just normal. And now the last step. Let's take some time to actually share compassion with ourselves, with yourself. Are there phrases that you've developed for yourself? Are there affirmations that you tell yourself? Here are some ideas. May I be kind to myself? May I be at ease with what's happening? May I live with a kind and accepting heart. May I be patient for the time that it takes to grow and change. More and more, may I be at ease in my life. And the serenity prayer to yourself in your own mind. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And if it works for you, you might also take a hand or hands and put it on your heart or some other place that's soothing to you, your shoulder, forehead, any place that's actually soothing for you. May I be full of loving kindness. May I be full of loving kindness. And there may be some place inside that you want to especially direct this kindness to. Maybe it's a part of you that you have a difficulty accepting. So in this moment, with this compassion, how about having compassion for the part of us that's most difficult to love? And stopping being hard on ourselves. Really accepting the parts of us that are still trying to help. Any difficult parts or scared parts or sad parts. Really being grateful for the ways that they're trying to help us. May I be full of loving kindness. And for the last minute or so, just letting go of the words. Noticing inside how this has affected the mind and the heart. And in this softer state, can you turn this over to your higher power now, this issue? Can you honestly say, higher power, please take this? Welcome back, everyone. And for our last chance to check in for the evening, we're going to break again into small groups and talk about compassion. Now, first, let's get a view, just kind of a heads up. Is there anybody here for whom practicing self-compassion can be difficult sometimes? Just raise your real hand up. Anyone that it's hard sometimes to actually practice self-compassion. Leave your hands up too, look around. That's the first time that I've seen almost everybody's hands up. Great, thank you for being honest about that. Tom, if you would share the questions. Mm. And Camille, if you'd read through the questions for the group. You're muted, honey.
Sure. Thank you, Charlie. How was practicing self-compassion for you? Was the exercise difficult or easy? Here are mindful self-compassion steps for you to consider in your small groups. Noticing. We were triggered. Recalling step one. Normalizing that it is being human, being compassionate with yourself. And a final question, how can you keep practicing self-compassion this week?
So we're hoping, thank you, Camille. We're hoping that you'll really come away from tonight asking yourself this question, where do I need to be self-compassionate all the time? And what's a first step that I can take this week? Talk about that in your small groups. Tom, if you'd go ahead and break people out, and Tom will also put these questions into the chat for you. And we'll look forward to seeing you in 20 minutes, which will be just prior to our close for the evening. And anyone who happens to be staying in the main group, we'll be doing the same thing here. Giving everybody a chance that's staying to check in on these questions. So I'm wondering if there's anyone who'd be willing to start us off in our session here with how was this practicing for you?
I'll start.
Hey, Dolores.
It was easy once I was doing it. It's something that I find is, wow, I'm looking forward to using it. I never thought, you know, and I have the book, you know, but now it's like, okay, another step of awareness for me today that this is something I can really use. And I chose something that wasn't the worst thing, something I'm embarrassed about. But then, you know, that those steps are so profound. And so they're like beautifully simple and they're so gentle. And it's, I was just so overcome with like the beauty and emotion. And I said, wow, this is really something that can be done easily, you know, and I'm not compassionate normally, but I think this will really open a door for me to become more compassionate. And I can see already areas where I might think about that during the week on a regular basis. So I'm really very grateful for that. And I feel like, you know, I was given a gift with this. So wow, thank you. And thanks for letting me share.
Wonderful. Do you want to shoot for that final question? Is there any particular issue that or opportunity to work on it this week? Something specific to try?
For me or for the others?
For you before I go to someone else.
Okay. Oh, yes, a particular area I will use when I'm hard on myself thinking about the decision whether I should stay on my job or not. Any, you know, things that are like particularly harsh and they're frightening, I can use that self-compassion to know that other people go through that.
Yeah.
Other people have even more difficult decisions, but however it is for me, I can be compassionate with myself and, you know, really, really turn it over to my higher power and just, you know, not be hitting myself with the stick. You know, it's bad enough and it's a difficult thing to think about. And that can be softened up and given over.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dolores. Michael, did you want to share? Michael might be in, have two different presences. He might have both a phone and a computer, so he might not really be with us. I'll go then. I'm amazed at how I keep needing to hear this again. I didn't choose the subject for this retreat. It was chosen by a group, the Awareness Exception, Acceptance Attitude Action. And this is an acceptance practice, the self-compassion. It blows me away for as much as I've been practicing this, how much more it can serve me. Listening to Dolores, I was just feeling so grateful I had the same experience that it's like my heart opens up and I go, oh, this works, you know, this actually works, you know, and it's nothing like the struggling, you know, it's nothing like the pushing, you know, and the, in particular, I'm perfectionist. I tend to be, you know, really hard on myself. And this week, what's going to be useful for me to practice with, my wife and I took a risk. We were making a large financial risk. We're going to change and move our home. It's going to cost more money than we currently spend. But it's going to give us a dream that we wanted. We've always wanted to live in wild nature, you know. But there's a bunch of stuff about it that's like completely brand new. It's a new place. It's a new, you know, everything is new. And we haven't done what we have to do. What's been happening is my perfectionism has been second guessing the decision, you know. And I've made the decision. And so when it comes up again, all it's doing, it's just kind of like, it's like whipping, you know, okay, all right, you know. So what the practice that will really help me with this week is that whenever I notice that my mind is second guessing this decision again or worrying, to really first notice, ouch, this hurts. And to practice and being grateful, because there's a part of me that's trying to survive. You know, I've got a financially prudent voice inside of me, right? And I don't want to lose that. So I want to be grateful that I have that part, and also invite it to relax, because the decision's made. It's done, you know? And then I've also got this, it's kind of like a, I'm going to call it like a internal priest or nun that sort of makes everything into a moral issue that isn't really a moral issue. You know, like my whole value as a being is on the line in this one decision, which it's not, but it feels like that. And so for that part, when it comes up, I want to have the same response. I'm grateful. I'm grateful I've got a part of me that wants to be good. You know, it wants to be a moral being. And again, to invite that part to relax and say, you know what, honey, you made a good decision, or you made a decision, and thank you for taking a risk, you know, and let's not believe in this black and white universe anymore, you know. So that's what I want to do this week. I want to, when it comes up, be gentle with those parts and ultimately turn it over to my higher power to say, yep, this whole process and all this money, you got it. It's on you. You're the only one that's going to hear this, Dolores, because I guess everybody else is in a small group. I've been using this visualization of Charlie pushing a shopping cart along in his life that's filled with all the things that I'm worrying about or carrying, you know, and letting myself unload it one thing at a time, and going, okay, I'm giving this back. Putting this back, giving it back to the universe, giving it back to higher power. So that's what I want for myself this week. So Tom, are you with us?
I am. I just posted that there's four people in the small group. So, I mean, in the main room. So some people are just kind of shy.
Do you want to check in on this topic at all, Tom?
Sure. Let me turn on my camera here. Self-compassion has always been difficult for me. I took a class at Charlie's urging early in the pandemic, and but it's hard to do on command, because I have my mind talking back and saying, this is just bunk. This isn't the real, come on now. This sort of thing doesn't work. I've got a really bad negative mind. So I use the three steps of self-compassion, which I guess four there, normalizing, I don't know. But I have to notice I often have anxiety and fear, a lot of fear that I'm not doing things as well as I used to because of my age and my physical condition. And when I forget things and people say, well, why didn't you remember this? I get terrified sometimes that A, they're going to leave me, or B, I am not good enough. And then when I go to step two, normalizing that this is being human, I have to think to myself, just a second, I have to send out a note. I have to remind myself that I am not the only one that feels this. And
it's okay, Tom. Take care of business first.
Okay, time for our last person to share.
Wow, that is awesome multitasking, dude.
Broadcast, there we go. Okay, so going back to the questions here. I'm not able to normalize it right off the bat, because I don't think other people have these problems. I judge my insides by other people's outsides. Hey, they're not, they don't have this problem. They don't feel, and I know now some people cover up their fear and their insecurity with bravado. And some people just have a plain flat affect, whereas I tend to wear everything on my sleeve. And I have to do that. In fact, I found it easier. I'm starting to make a project of writing down people's names. I don't share this with anybody else, of people who have shown a weakness that I share so that I can remember them when I am lost in my trance of unworthiness. So, and then the last step, being compassionate with myself. I have a series of phrases that I use with myself that I've modified over time, and they're based upon the four basic Buddhist things. May I be safe and protected in every way. May my heart be at ease. May I be free from illness and pain. And may this love be shared with the rest of the world. And that's being compassionate with myself. And how am I going to keep practicing self-compassion this week? I may actually start setting alarms, hitting myself over the head a little bit, because when I am triggered, I don't remember stuff. That's when my memory is the worst. And remembering that I need time. I need to take a pause. So that's my check-in, and I'm sticking to it.
Thanks, Tom. I think that when the gang gets back, we're going to skip the next exercise, Tom, and the next screen share that we're going to do is we're going to go right to the next one will be the donation information from EA. But first, we're going to have a final large group check-in where we're going to ask a few people to say what they're taking away for the evening. So just so you know where we're going, Tom.
I'm about to send out the 1 minute warning.
Just end the small groups and that'll do it.
You know, I thought the only way to do that, it always took 1 minute. You'll have to talk about this another time, because every time I've done it, it starts a 1 minute timer.
Here it is.
Close all rooms. I'll do it right now. Okay. It still says 60 seconds.
Yep. So why don't you go ahead and end the screen share?
All righty.
Thanks, Tom.
They'll be back in 40 seconds, 39, 38, 37. I guess I can shut up now.
Thank you for running dashboard tonight, Tom. You're a whiz. You made this look easy. Camille.
Yes.
We have to do a shortcut because we're near the end of our time. And so I'm thinking we should go right to that final thoughts where you ask people to say a few words before we close. And we'll skip any more readings.
I'll go first if you don't mind. Sure.
Anybody has any final thoughts, please go ahead.
Well, I'm going to just say I met two more nice people on the internet. And thank you all for being here, because you're all good people. And just keep up to what you're doing with your program. Pass.
Thanks, Russ.
Thank you for your
show. This was
thanks, Dad.
Thank you, everyone.
Wait. We're still doing one at a time here. So,
my name's Mike.
Hi, Mark.
This is my first meeting. In Emotions Anonymous at 50 years old.
Hi, Mike.
Very, very first. And I just was, thank you. I was talking with someone earlier, and, you know, we all have the resolution within us, you know, to work through our emotions. We have the internal resolution, and that's what I'm thankful for. And that's kind of some breakthroughs that I've been having myself in the last 2 weeks, you know, because I'm not drinking alcohol, you get clear thoughts, you know, over time. And it's been like 6 years, almost 7 years. So those are the people I'm in prison going through these clear thoughts. So it's a big deal for me to show up today, Charlie, and listen to you. Thank you. You're awesome. So appreciate y'all.
So Camille's question, if you guys if you'd raise your hand, your Zoom hand, we're going to call on people. But I want to repeat Camille's question, which was, what are you taking away? What did you get tonight that you want to practice? You know, or what did you get that was a good thing tonight? And so anyone go ahead and raise your Zoom hand. I see that Gonzalo said, everyone make sure you're muted. Would anyone like to say something that you're taking away from tonight? Maria. Here, I'm gonna.
Hi there, sorry. Hi guys. Well, I learned about the window of tolerance that I had never heard that before, and how the hope of being more in the center of not going too far up or too far down, and excited to even learn about the four A's and this workbook that I didn't know about. And how just being reminded that trauma is very common, even if it's maybe different in the moment, but so many of us are experiencing trauma in one way or another, and that I don't have to let it be the end of me. Just being part of everybody, and then even being so encouraged in one of the meetings, in one of the groups, someone has been in Emotions Anonymous for 30 years. I felt like saying, thank you that you continued. Thank you that you are here. Thank you for those of us who are newcomers who need it so much right now. Thank you for your service and for your perseverance, because you are our hope. By your example, so that if you can do it, we can do it too. So I'm coming out very grateful for this, and the timing couldn't be any better. So the timing was excellent for me. So I thank my higher power for orchestrating it all for us. So thank you.
And
thank you for sharing.
Camille, I'll let you pick the next person, but I'm just going to read a couple things from the chat. Dolores said she's taken away the compassionate step one break, and also the trance of unworthiness, learning about that. Greta says self-compassion is something that she's taken away. And go ahead, Camille.
Who else wanted to share? I don't see any hands up.
I see Sharon's got her hand in.
Oh, now, Denise did too. So, okay, Sharon first then.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I knew about the compassionate
step one step. We reviewed it last October, whenever we had last July, but I'd forgotten about it. Even though I do self-compassion, I'd forgotten about the four steps. And I'm in a place in my life, I've never been here before, like I'm starting over. And so I just really love that part of being self-aware of thoughts and feelings and how I am and going, okay, this is normal. And I do say that to myself, this is probably normal. So I just really appreciate the reminder that whatever we're going through is normal, because we hear so many people talking about it. And so it's okay. We can get through it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Denise, did you want to go?
Yes. First, thank you, Charlie, Tom, and Camille, for your service. I'm very grateful for it. Recently, in the last couple months, I've triggered on to some things that after going through the usual work and steps that I needed to upgrade where I am, because I realized the seriousness of some of the situations that my life, that I had been in my life in relationships and things, and how it affected me emotionally. Most of it's people, and I'm grateful for having this opportunity to look at the spiritual awakening, and so thank you, and I look forward to seeing everyone tomorrow, and I've also learned that I need to step up my program. Thank you.
Was there somebody else?
Hello, this is Ken. I'm not on a computer, so I can't raise my hand. I don't know if you can hear me, but could I share just for a couple seconds? I'd like to.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, this is Ken. So, well, what I'm going to take away, and thank you for the people that everybody here and the people who are organized this. I think it's an excellent topic, awareness, acceptance, action, attitude, the four A's. And so I'm going to take away an increased sense of awareness. I think, having worked the program that, we can work through anything that we're aware of. But then that's a self journey inside, because sometimes I'm not aware of things. And, I need some help from the EA group and going to meetings and stuff to increase my awareness of things that are going on, my emotions within me and my reactions and that kind of thing. And I've learned a lot by listening tonight, and I know I will tomorrow. I always do when I come to these things, when I go to a meeting. So I'm going to take away an increased level of awareness. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
Do we want to take more shares or?
I think that we're kind of near the end here. Tom, if you had post the EA website information, and Camille, it's on you again.
Okay. I kind of lost my place here.
It's okay. I can handle it. This is the part where we invite you to consider a donation to Emotions Anonymous. So Tom's about to put up a screen share with the website information. But I want you to imagine something. 9 months, no face-to-face meetings, no collections, yet the face-to-face meetings being given to Emotions Anonymous. 9 months, okay? And our staff is still functioning down there, but your support is really needed right now. So some of you will be coming back tomorrow. Some of you, it's just tonight. We're suggesting for someone who does the whole retreat, if you happen to be able to afford it, consider giving $50 to Emotions Anonymous. It enables this kind of programming to happen. And please give as you're able. And if you can give more than that, also please give. I can tell you that there's great office people down there that are doing the work of letting this kind of information about the program happen. So there you see it up there, the donate button. And Tom's also going to cut and paste and put that hyperlink into the chat. And that'll be a little bit easier for you to grab because you can copy from the chat and put it somewhere else on your computer. So
Charlie, can I add to that? This is Terry.
Yeah, go ahead, Terry.
So if you go on the Emotions Anonymous International website, there's also a post office box. If you're a dinosaur like me, you can send a check.
What's that? Okay. So now just a quick preview of tomorrow. Those of you who are coming back, we'll start out with a session on acceptance. And I don't know about you guys, acceptance is everything. It's the lubrication that makes it all possible. And we've put together another really wonderful program for you. So, but the first thing that happens in the morning is actually what we call our renewal ceremony. So if you show up at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, our own Sharon B. and our own Greta F. will be leading a half hour session, or the better part of, and there's Sharon's waving down there. I don't know where she appears on your screen. But she'll be leading a renewal ceremony that is touching off again on the four A's. It'll be followed by a session on acceptance at 9:30. And then after that, an attitude, wise attitude section at noon, and closing off with wise action taking place at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So a way to say goodbye. We call this the global hug. If you're willing, put your hands up there and kind of put them like you're actually reaching out there and kind of reaching out to each other. Oh, isn't that pretty? Isn't that wonderful how we're all reaching out? Feel the gratitude, feel the goodness. And now if you're willing, join me with a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer. And what we're going to do is have everybody put your mute on, and we're going to have Camille actually lead the serenity prayer while the rest of us are muted, so that it's not so.
Take a moment. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change. Things I can, and the wisdom
know the difference.
Keep coming back. It works if you work it, and you're worth it. Thank you.